everyone. Welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. Today's episode features a takeover of our popular weekly live Q&A session on Instagram called Ask a Flower Farmer. This one was hosted by Dave Dowling of Ball Color Link. Dave's also a former flower farmer and the instructor for our online course, Flower Farming School Online, Bulbs, Perennials, Woodies, and More. Dave has such a wealth of knowledge to share, and here he answers questions about many different flowers, including ranunculus, sunflowers, clarkia, celosia, peonies, amaranth, and tulips. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy.
First, a word about the Field and Garden Podcast. The Field and Garden Podcast is a part of the Gardener's Workshop. The Gardener's Workshop has been telling the stories and how-tos of growing, selling, and helping others to pursue their flower-growing dreams for over 25 years. What began as one gardening enthusiast sharing her passion has grown into so much more. Over at thegardenersworkshop.com, find in print with our blogs and books and through our podcasts and videos and courses, and we have a shop full of the same tools, seeds, and supplies that you hear mentioned on our podcast. You can connect with all of these resources over at thegardenersworkshop.com. I hope you'll take some time to explore all we have for you. Welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome to Ask the Flower Farmer Live, the Wednesday afternoon at 12:30 Eastern Time every week on the Gardener's Workshop Facebook, Gardener's Workshop Instagram page. I'm filling in today as the guest host for Lisa Ziegler, who's taken the day off. If you're not familiar with who I am, my name again is Dave Dowling. I work for Ball Seed in the Color Link division as a sales rep to cut flower growers all across the U.S. Her question is, you have a new hoop house, and what's the biggest mistake that cut flower growers make with a hoop house or a high tunnel? Probably two. The biggest one is weed management, because if the weeds take over in your high tunnel, it's really hard to get rid of them. So you want to prevent weeds as opposed to getting rid of them. By preventing them, I mean starting with clean soil, use mulch, deal with the weeds and the little teeny short half-inch weeds that you can easily hoe, or even flame weed if you don't have plants growing yet, if your flowers aren't planted yet. But you don't want to have to go and they'd be pulling weeds that are, you know, knee-high. That's just a waste of time. It detracts from the quality of the flowers you're growing. So weed management is probably one of the biggest problems in a high tunnel. And then the other one is just scheduling. You want to make sure that that tunnel always has something growing in it, if possible, because it's expensive real estate. You don't want to have a tunnel that sits empty 4 months of the year or for a month at a time. So you want to make sure that as soon as your ranunculus are finished in probably early June, you're ready to plant right in there with some celosia or some other summer crop. Mums, cut flower mums, work great right after ranunculus because the timing is right. The ranunculus finish up in early June, and that's when you should be planting out your cut flower mums into a tunnel. Union Mills Flowers wants to know if you've ever dealt with brittle stems in Sweet William. I feel like they break so easily that the notches once the leaves are stripped. Yes, just the nature of the Sweet William, the Dianthus Barbatus, Sweet William Dianthus. They break easily at the notch. They're in the carnation flower family, and carnations will do the same thing. You just have to be gentle with them. It's just part of the nature of the flower, unfortunately. It's middle of May now already. It's hard to believe that, you know, hopefully spring is happened where you're at, where you're located. Everyone's zones are different. Somebody up in northern U.S. or even Canada is still dealing with late spring frost, whereas somebody down in Georgia is already in the heat of the summer. So I know growers in South Carolina, their peony season's in full swing, and somebody up farther north, it's not even starting yet. Kalichik, she's in zone 7. What are the best privacy trees to plant that don't turn brown? If you're talking privacy screens, just to screen your property so you don't have to look at the neighbors, they don't have to look at you. There's the evergreen Leland cypress. It grows really fast, and it also makes a great cut green for selling at Christmas time. So, you know, you're hopefully going to plant something that you can make some money off of. So the Leland cypress, just don't let them get too tall. Always keep cutting the tops out of them. If they get too tall, sometimes a heavy snowstorm can cause them to split open, but they really grow 18 inches to 2 feet every year, and you can cut those branches and sell them at Christmas time. Twin Run Flower Farm as Clarkia. It's blooming now, which is great. I guess it's the first time growing it. When do you harvest it? You want to harvest Clarkia just as they're starting to open. All those buds at the top of the plant, the top of the stem, which should be really fat, maybe a couple of them open, but you don't want to wait till it's fully open. The vase life is about a week, like most cut flowers. And yes, they do go in a cooler. But you want to try and sell them as soon as possible. Pick them in the just opening flower stage. Buds, maybe one or two open, but the rest are still closed. Union Mills wants to know, how long can you store ranunculus and sunflowers in the cooler or fridge? You want to have your cooler be in that 34 to 38 degree range. Ranunculus, a week without any problem. Same with sunflowers, a week without any problem. But it's also important to pick them at the right stage. The ranunculus should almost be like a peony, where it's a soft marshmallow. The little calyxes have separated from the top, so it's the flower's able to open. And it's still not opened all the way. It's just big and puffy, about to open. And with sunflowers, you know you should always pick those when that first petal is just lifting off the center disc. Don't wait till it's fully bloomed in the field, because then the insects are going to get on and eat on the petals, or the petals can get damaged in handling. So you want to harvest and transport your sunflowers in that bud stage where they're just starting to open. Oh, this is a good one. Okie Doxon wants to know, what do I wish I knew when I first started your flower farm? The mistakes you don't want to make, like buying a tunnel that's too cheap and would blew away in the wind, basically. That's a tough question. There's so many things that you need to know to start out that you wish you knew once you find out that, once you realize what you don't know, you wish you knew it sooner. Everything from, you know, which varieties to grow, which varieties to, which ones sell best, which are easy to grow, correct harvest stage. I can remember when I first started not knowing that you pick a tulip before it's even open and it should be just showing color. And like I said earlier, the sunflower is just barely open, starting to open is when you harvest them. So I would almost say to know the best varieties to grow and then also the correct harvest stage. Because if you harvest flowers too late, they won't last long for the customer and then you don't get a repeat customer. Stone Gables wants to know, how long can you store lilies in a cooler? You can cut lilies in the cooler a good week to up to 2 weeks. The only thing is the leaves are going to start to turn yellow. They won't stay nice and green. And also then some of the smaller buds may not open if they are held too long in the cooler. My rule of thumb for a cooler is you never want to hold things more than a week, because you should have another batch ready to pick for the following week. So in other words, if you're selling just at farmers markets on the weekend or just selling to florists during the week, you're going to harvest almost every day when things are ready, because you want to pick them at the right stage. And then you want to empty that cooler out on a continuous basis so that all the lilies you picked this week are gone by the end of the week, and you start filling up again next week for the next week's sales. Whether it's lilies or sunflowers or whatever you're picking, you want to rotate that stuff and get it out of that cooler no more than a week. It's not like storing, you know, cheese in your refrigerator that can sit there for 3 months and it doesn't change. Flowers are like storing bananas on the kitchen counter. They go bad quick, so you want to sell them as quick as possible. Slab Town Petal Pickers. She received plugs this week. The Celosia Sunday series has tiny little blooms starting. Should I pinch them before I plant, or should I wait till they're 6 inches tall? Celosias hopefully should never show flower buds in the plug tray. But one thing you look at a Celosia seedling is if there's a lot of leaves, I like to say stacked up under the flower. So if you've got that bud starting, but there's like 30 leaves really close together under the flower, that's going to stretch and get much taller and you'll be okay. But if you've got a flower and it's only got 3 leaves on the stem, on the entire plant, and then a bud starting, it's not going to get much taller. So you definitely want to pinch that. Unless they've gotten really tall in the plug tray, you know, they're 3 inches tall, I would not pinch them in the plug tray. I would transplant them out and wait a week or so for them to get established and then pinch them. Sunday Celosia is a series that can be pinched, and they do recommend it so you get more stems. So I would transplant them first, let them grow a little bit, and then pinch, leaving that 4 to 6 leaves on each plant, and then you get 4 to 6 branches and new stems on the plants. Crooked Letter Roots wants to know, what's the possible reason for growth stalling under the lights if in grow room conditions are pretty ideal? So in other words, you have seedlings starting growing in a grow room with lights, and they're kind of like growing, they've just stopped. It could be that it's just they've outgrown the plug tray. In other words, you can have a plug tray or seedlings that are, the roots are constrained and they're just not going to grow any taller. A lot of times people leave things in the grow room too long and they're getting too long and leggy, or they just get stunted because they've they become root bound. If they're big enough to transplant, I will go ahead and transplant them out as long as your weather's good to do that. Carla asks, I grew ranunculus for the first time. Do I cut at the base? What do you do with them after they're done? So yes, a ranunculus, you want to cut it really low in the close to the ground so you get the tallest stem possible, because the longer the stem is on a flower, the higher the price you can charge. If you have an 18-inch ranunculus, it's worth way more money than an 8-inch ranunculus. So cut them as low as you can, close to the ground. If it's early in the season, you might have some new buds coming, so be careful you don't damage the next ones that are growing up. But cut nice and tall. And what do you do with them when they're done? I think you mean with the plants when they're finished. Ranunculus is going to go dormant once the soil is really warm. Usually early June, they just start turning yellow and within 2 weeks they're died back to the ground. Some people save them and replant them in the fall, but it's usually just as easy to buy new ones. It's up to you whether you want to save them. You can save them by leaving them in that bed, but it's taking up that valuable space in that tunnel all summer. You're better off to take them out and put in celosias or the cut flower mums. Or if you take them out, you can clean them off and store them warm and dry. So in a brown grocery bag or lunch bag, paper lunch bag, in your office or in your house. They don't go in the cooler. They want to be warm and dry. Still even flowers. Has amaranth, the variety called Hot Biscuits, grown in 3/4-inch soil blocks, very pale green, yellow, other varieties on the same tray looking good. Thoughts? The leaf colors sometimes can be different for the different color flower. Like you think of celosia, if you look at sometimes the leaves are more of a darker color on the red and a lighter color on the yellow flowers. It could be that if they're on the same tray and one color is a different color plant, in other words, the Hot Biscuits is showing a pale green and everything else looking okay, it could be just the variety looks different. But my guess also, it could be a nutrient problem, even though they're in the same tray as other ones. Sometimes too much water, plants will start to turn yellow. If they're big enough to transplant out in the field, I would get them transplanted out, and they might outgrow that miscoloring, the wrong color they have. Okay, Chris is... So they were listening to the podcast I did with Jenny Love about ranunculus and talking about extra phosphorus for the plants that are in bud. Their ranunculus are just starting to come on. Do I recommend a certain one, or have you used Bloom Booster with Miracle-Gro? Yeah, the phosphorus is the second number on the fertilizer. When you got like 10, 10, 10, it's the second number is the phosphorus. You could use a Bloom Booster fertilizer or something that has a higher second number. It might be as simple as a 5, 25, something like that. Just know that anything you're adding to them now basically needs to be a liquid fertilizer, something that's either a powder that's been dissolved or a liquid organic fertilizer, not a granular, because it'll take too long for the granular to dissolve and break down and get it in the soil to the roots of the plant. But yeah, you could use a Bloom Booster fertilizer to add more phosphorus to the plants. Okie Doxin's asking again, do I need to replant tulip bulbs every year, timing on tulip beds? Most definitely, yes. If you're growing tulips as a cut flower, you're going to buy new bulbs every year. If you ever go out in an area where you had tulips growing in August and dig those bulbs up, instead of that one big bulb that you planted, now you have 4 or 5 little teeny bulbs that they call daughter bulbs. And it's going to take a year or two before those are big enough to bloom again. And in that time, it's much cheaper, easier, and better to buy new bulbs every year. Depending where you're at, you normally want to plant your tulips around your last frost date in the fall. So if your last frost date is usually October 15th, that's about when you should be planting those tulips in the beds. And then they're going to bloom for you around your last, about a month before your last spring frost date. So tulips do get frost when they're growing in the spring. It doesn't hurt them. I would like to say if you've had frost on your tulips, don't go out and look at them until after lunch, because you got to look at them at 9 o'clock in the morning. They look terrible. The color's wrong, this thing might be laying on the ground or all bent heads. Once it warms up, they're going to perk up and be fine. So don't stress yourself out. Just don't even look at your tulips in the morning if they've had a freeze overnight. Peony plants versus a peony tree. Never grown a tree, but wonder if they produce sellable stems. Basically, no. The tree peony is a totally different plant. The flower is sometimes 8 inches in diameter, usually a single or semi-single. It's not a big full peony like you expect to see for a cut flower. And they're in a woody stem and little short stem. So it doesn't work as a cut flower. Makes an amazing, very impressive garden plant once they're larger and established. But a tree peony just does not work as a cut flower usually. And also they're usually really expensive, $25, $50 per plant. Still even flowers wants to know, what's the best way to get high germination on Icelandic poppies? Want to start some midsummer for overwintering. Well, first of all, for overwintering plants that you want to put out in the fall, things like the poppies or the Herta Rebeckia Indian Summer or Sweet William, the true biennial type. You want to usually start those in late July, early August. And poppies are tough to start in the middle of the summer. They don't like that warm weather. Even the plug growers won't offer them for sale until November because they just can't, they know it's too warm for them to start the poppy seeds in late July and early August. So you usually have to wait until early September to start the seed. The high germination is you want them to start at 70 degrees, but then grow cool. So it's just don't do it when it's really, really hot because you have soil temperatures that are, you know, 85 degrees because it's 90 degrees that day. It's just too hot for poppies to sprout. Think of the way they're going to grow in nature. They're going to drop the seeds in the spring. Those seeds sit on the ground until sometime in mid-September, even early October before they sprout. And that's what you want to try and mimic. So you want to start them late summer, early fall, and then get them transplanted out. Somebody wants to know, what can I plant over tulip beds once they are spent? We'll just tidy up the bed and let it rest. No, you can most definitely plant anything over top of tulips. It's really important to know that you never want to plant tulips back in that same bed for at least about 6 or 7 years, just because the old tulip bulbs are still going to put up a little bit of greens every year, and then that starts to get what they call tulip fire, which is the botrytis and just disease problems. So you always want to not plant tulips in the same bed for at least 6 or 7 years before you go back there with tulips, but you can plant anything else over them. The tulips are finished by the end of April, early May. You can do any heat-loving summer annuals over that. Celosias, sunflowers, anything you want will grow on top of them. Sandhill Bloomers has a question that I always answer with a little caveat. Should second-year peonies be disbudded? By second year, I'm assuming you mean they were planted in the fall of 2021. They grew 2022, and now they're growing in 2023. You probably have a few buds showing on them. Some growers say you should wait 4 or 5 years to pick your peonies. I say if you have a peony that has a stem that's tall enough, a flower that's big enough, and a nice bud, as long as you can pick that flower and leave a lot of leaves on the plant. So in other words, you've got a new peony plant, it's got one good flower and three stems of just leaves. If you can pick that stem and still on the stem that has the flower and leave another leaf at the lower end of that bud, at the lower end of that stem, and harvest that peony, you're still leaving three good stems of leaves plus another stem that has some leaves on it to re-nourish that root for the next year. So I say yes, go ahead and pick those, but do it sparingly. So you're leaving lots of leaves on the plant, but just as important as leaving leaves on the plant, lots of foliage to regenerate the root for next year, is make sure they're fertilized, make sure they're watered, and make sure they're weeded all summer. It's very easy as a flower farmer to go out and deal with your peonies when they're blooming in May, and then comes July and you're buried in sunflowers and lisianthus and everything else, and those peonies are grown up in weeds, you haven't watered them in a month, and it's really important to keep them watered in July and August because that's when they're making the eyes or the buds for next year. So if they're stressed this summer, next year they're not going to be much bigger than they were this year. But if you take care of those plants, keep them watered, weeded, and fertilized this summer, you'll be amazed how much bigger they get every year. Still even flowers. Wants to know if you plant gladiola bulbs over daffodils. Yes, you can. One thing to know though is you end up digging to plant the gladiolas, you might dig into the daffodils. So you've got to be careful you're not going to damage them. So if you have a row of daffodils and you can plant gladiolas next to it, I just want to dig right on top of the daffodils because then you risk digging up and damaging your daffodil bulbs. Another thing to know about the daffodils, they're going to be there for years until they get too crowded, then you need to divide them. It might be 10, 15 years before that's needed. But your gladiolas, the bulb you plant is the mother bulb, and it makes new bulbs on top of that one you planted this year. They're actually not bulbs, they're corms, but a gladiola corm, you plant it this year, 3 inches deep, it's going to produce a new one on top of that, and the next year on top of that. So after about 3 or 4 years, if you're in an area where you don't have to dig your glads because you're zone 7 or warmer, eventually you think, how'd that gladiola get on the surface? It's because every year they come one layer higher until they get up to the surface. Then you need to redig them and replant them deeper. A little meadow flower farmer, it's a first-year growing ranunculus, so often should I be watering them now that they're starting to bloom? Also, we're getting a couple 90-degree days this weekend. What can a field grower do? Well, first of all, it's really important to keep them watered well once they're pushing up flower buds, because if they don't have enough water, they're not going to push up many buds, and the buds and flowers that do push up are going to be small. So you want to make sure they're well watered once they're pushing up the flower buds and stems. If you haven't been using fertilizer, it's good to use a little bit of phosphorus fertilizer now. And you're getting a couple 90 degree days this weekend, and you're growing them in the field, what can you do? There's not much you can do other than make sure they're really well watered. And the other thing to remember when watering ranunculus, be really careful you're not watering them with warm water, because you're trying to keep the soil cool. The worst thing you do is have a 100-foot long hose that's laying out in the sun, and you put that 100 feet worth of water on those beds and it's hot. So you want to make sure you run the water till it's cold and then water your ranunculus. That's important both field growing and in tunnel growing, because once the soil gets up about 60 degrees in the soil temperature, those ranunculus are going to go dormant and they're done for the season. Fleetwood Botanical asked, do I have any books or literature published? No books. I don't have the time or desire to write a book. I know people have asked me to do it, but it's just not in my nature or my blood. I've got lots of different things. I've done presentations for the ASCFG that are on their members-only website, the members-only section of the ASCFG.org website. And I've done different presentations for groups all around the country. That's, if you search my name online, you'll find stuff. And of course, I do the online class with the Gardener's Workshop called Bulbs, Woodies, Perennials, and More. If you buy that class, there's a lot of handouts that come with that class. Whitney in the garden is asking, when it says Amandine ranunculus can withstand warmer temperatures, how warm does that mean? Basically, what that means is it takes them a little bit longer to shut down. It doesn't mean you can grow them where it's 90 degrees every day and 65 or 70 at night. It means that when you've grown them in the spring, side by side with Labelle or some other variety of ranunculus, it's going to take a little bit longer before it dies back from the heat as the spring warms up. And they usually say about 2 weeks longer. So in other words, if you've been growing them all spring and now it's getting to be where your nighttime temperature is 65 and the days are 75 or 80 or even 90, it's going to take them a little bit longer before they go dormant. But it's only about a week or two difference. It's not like you can grow them all summer in the heat, because that won't work. They still can't take the hot temperatures. Can I talk about butterfly ranunculus, and is it true that they are better tolerant of heat? Butterfly ranunculus are a different animal, so to speak. Even though the corms or the roots look similar to regular ranunculus, they're much bigger. When they're sold to you, they're not quite as dehydrated and dried out as the regular ranunculus. Obviously, they cost a lot more. They're over $2 each, whereas the other ranunculus are in the 60 to 65 cent range. They are grown from tissue culture, which is one of the reasons they cost more. Tissue culture is a long process where they reproduce the plants in a laboratory, basically in petri dishes or test tubes, separate the little baby plants and grow them to produce the root that then they dig and sell to you to grow the following year. They're a little bit different to getting them started. They're a little pickier as far as moisture. When you plant them, they can't dry out at all, whereas some of the other ranunculus, we say don't overwater them when they're first planted. The butterfly need more consistent watering. And also the temperature is more important. They don't like it too hot and they don't like it too cold when they're starting. So if you try and sprout a butterfly ranunculus at 40 degrees, it's going to sit there and say, nope, I'm not going to grow. It wants to be in that 54 to 58 degree range. And then it'll say, okay, it's the right weather, I'm going to grow. If it's too warm, it's not going to grow just like the regular ranunculus. You're not going to get it to grow in 65 degree soil. It just won't do it. Heat tolerant, they're a little bit more heat tolerant once they're growing, but they still go dormant and die back once it gets too warm. So it's basically a very different animal. You pick them. It's a spray of flowers. It's not a single flower on per stem, but you might have six or eight flowers on one stem. You harvest it when the first couple of flowers are opening. The other buds will then open in the vase. Even though it is a ranunculus, it's totally different than the regular other ranunculus. Union Mills Flowers, can you speak to your Mother's Day prep? How did you stay organized? Back when I was growing, I basically sold to florists and to it's a couple of really good farmers markets. So as far as organization for the farmers market, that just meant getting every flower picked and every flower you could get on that truck to get it to the market, and then we would still sell out. For the florist, it was taking their orders a week in advance and not over-promising. So in other words, if I only had 200 pink lilies, I made sure I didn't sell more than 200 pink lilies to the florist. I didn't do spreadsheets or anything like that. It was just written on paper. You know, this florist needs this. This another florist needs three bunches of something else. But for the farmer's market, we took everything that was ready and took everything to the market, because it doesn't sell sitting in the field. You got to take it to the market, at least try and sell it. And on Mother's Day weekend, you're going to sell every flower you take. Okidoxin wants to know about how to keep bugs at bay. The biggest thing with insects is usually thrips and aphids are your worst ones, is you want to catch them before they start to reproduce. So in other words, you can't just go walk in your tunnel once a week and turn the irrigation on twice a week and never walk down the beds and look at them. You need to be walking down those beds on a daily basis, out in the field, tunnels, greenhouses, wherever you're growing the flowers, and be just scouting. They call it scouting, where you're looking for insects. And it's as simple as if you see one stem of snapdragon or one stem of lily that has aphids on it, cut that stem and throw it in the dumpster. Get it out of that field, get it out of that greenhouse, and get rid of it. And you may have prevented an entire outbreak of aphids because you found the mother that was starting to reproduce. If you don't look for a week, you go in a week later and they're all over everything. I had a customer, two customers before, they've had aphids on their ranunculus and again on their snapdragons, two different growers, but such a terrible bad outbreak that it was beyond saving them. There was just no way they could clean them up. You couldn't wash them off. You couldn't spray them and kill them. They were just so bad. All they could do was pull them up and throw them away and start over. So it's really important to watch for insects and get them as soon as you see them. Whether you're going to hand treat them, spray them with some organic chemicals, whatever you do, do it early on, because insects are just like weeds. Get them when they're little, and there's not many of them. It's so much easier than dealing with it when they've taken over the field or taken over the tunnel or greenhouse. Sandhill bloomers. Crate-grown lilies in the hoop house are budding out. Do I keep fertilizing until bloom? You don't need to fertilize anymore. You just need to make sure they're watered, because when the lilies are producing their buds and the buds are elongating and growing, they grow about a half inch a week. And if they don't have water, they're going to suffer, might even abort buds, especially the LA lilies will abort buds really fast if they're dried out. Lilies in crates, when they're that big and ready to bloom, they sometimes need to be watered every single day. If it's sunny out, warm, you need to water every day. The worst thing you do is let them dry out. Products I would recommend. Products. I think this is back to the insects, to the insect products. It all depends on the insect and the crop. There's some things you can spray and it's going to kill just the aphids. Sometimes if you have aphids, it's simple as just hosing off the few plants that have it, wash the aphids to the ground, they die, and then you're fine. I don't like to usually recommend insecticides because everyone's different. You know, everybody, some people want to use chemicals, some want to use organic, some don't want to use any spray. The best thing to do is figure out what you want to do on your farm and then do a Google search for that crop, that insect, and some university will have a whole handout on how to deal with aphids on snapdragons or thrips and lisianthus. And that'll have all the stuff you need on that. And still leaving flowers, advice on tarnished plant bugs. Again, you need to get them when they're just starting because they will damage your flower buds. You don't notice the damage until it's too late. And the bud then opens up misformed. The flower is a one-sided sunflower or one-sided dahlia. Will Bunch Blossoms asks, is there going to be a restock on half-clone ranunculus corms at Ball? That's actually with Edney, and it all depends on how many they can get from their supplier. Those come from a grower in France, and they should be having accurate numbers now, and sometimes they can add a few more later, but get your order in now, and if there's a variety that wasn't available, just check back every week in case they find more of them. And one last question, Bloom Flower Garden asks, how do you pinch peonies, the most out of the stems to sell, the pinch the side buds? When I was growing, I only sold peonies to some florists that didn't care if they had side buds, or at farmers markets where people liked the side buds. If you sell them to a wholesaler, they will not buy them with the side buds. So you do need to pinch out the side buds when the size of peas are smaller. But for me, growing at farmers market sales and to local florists who didn't mind the extra buds, I never disbudded them. You never get more stems. It's still only going to be one stem. It just depends whether you want to have that single flower at the end that's really big, or a nice flower, and then several smaller buds on the sides. So I remind everybody that I do have the class with the Gardener's Workshop, bulbs, perennials, woodies, and more. You can find more information about that and lots of other items at thegardenersworkshop.com, other online classes they have, as well as lots of other free information and other information about these Ask the Flower Farmer every Wednesday at 12:30 Eastern Time. Till next time, have a great day.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you soaked up some great bits of info there. So I've included some links in the show notes to topics that Dave mentioned here, including the page on our website where you can check out Dave's online course called Flower Farming School Online, Bulbs, Perennials, Woodies, and More. If you're interested in attending an Ask a Flower Farmer Q&A live, you can find them weekly on our Instagram account each Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. These sessions are normally hosted by Lisa Mason Ziegler, but we do have guest takeovers such as this one periodically as well, and I encourage you to check it out. If you like what you're hearing here on the Field and Garden podcast, we'd love it if you'd tell a friend about us and leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop, and I hope you have a great day.